The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
I just feel like I want to preach from down here today. And every time I preach, the Lord is speaking to me as much as He's speaking to you. But today, I feel like He's speaking to us together in a really unique way. So I'm going to be down here. It's good to see you all. We are in a series right now titled Stewarding Freedom. And Dave kicked it off with really just going through the realities of the freedom that we have. He kind of walked us through Romans Road. He walked us through the realities of the freedom that has been purchased for us by what Christ has done. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about what it looks like to live from that freedom. But I just want to touch on a couple concepts. What He reminded us of. And we all probably could have come to faith again in Jesus, because it was really just a reminder of what it is to say yes to Jesus, what He paid for us, the grace that is then released in our lives, that we get to walk in that freedom. And it was a reminder that we have freedom from sin and death. We have freedom from sin and death and into life. And we have freedom from the law. We have freedom from this external law that guides and directs our behaviors. And we have freedom into an internal law of love that lives on the inside of us, and that we move by that law, by that grace that's internal, instead of this sense of punishment or external law. And we have freedom from the lusts of the flesh. We have freedom from having to do the things that self wants to do, because we've stepped into a death to self and a resurrection in Christ, that Christ now lives in us. And so he reminded us again of those foundational truths of what we have freedom in, what we've been freed from, and what we have freedom in. And for me today, I was going to grab my phone because the clock isn't working. Do I have my phone? Okay. For me, I just want to talk about what it looks like to steward that freedom. One of the questions of the Christian life is, how then shall we live? Because we have that freedom, what does that look like to walk in that? And the piece, there's a lot of components to that, but the piece that the Lord has been kind of focusing in on in my life right now is, well, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. We've come into a grace as children. That's what Jesus did for us, made us children of God, right? So as obedient children, do not conform yourself to the former lusts, as in your ignorance. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy as I am holy. And so all throughout the New Testament, there's these instructions about how to live with people and how to live with God. And here is this exhortation, be holy as I am holy. This freedom that was purchased for you, this freedom that you walk in, freedom from this, gives you now the ability to have freedom into being holy as I am holy. In Hebrews 12:14, again, talking about how to live with people and how to live with God. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Pursue peace with all people and pursue holiness, because without it, nobody is going to see who God is. That's how I read it. Nobody is going to see who he is if we aren't able to pursue peace and if we aren't able to pursue holiness. And so that's the freedom that we have. It doesn't sound like freedom, but I'm about to convince you that it is. That's the freedom that we have. And there's this aspect of holiness that is a foundational truth of Christian life. It is a foundational ingredient to our Christian life. And I think there's times that as believers, we want to get somewhere in our Christian life. We want to grow. We desperately want to have an impact on the world around us. We want to see what Jesus did, have an impact on the world around us. And we want to live blessed because he says we can live blessed. But if we don't have the right ingredients, we don't get the right result. There's ingredients to the Christian life. There's things that we step into. We've stepped out of some things because we have freedom. But there's some things that we step into in order for those things to happen. A foundational ingredient to Christian life is pursuing holiness. The problem is we don't really know what that is. Even as the Lord was speaking to me about this thing of holiness, and I was kind of crafting what I thought my sermon might be around that, I realized I don't think I really know what this is. That we kind of have a view of holiness as a list of things that we don't do, right? That even, you know, I grew up in a fairly free church. I grew up in an environment like this. And yet, there were things, my understanding of holiness was there were things we didn't do. One thing we didn't do is we didn't watch Scooby-Doo. Okay? So growing up, we didn't watch Scooby-Doo because there were ghosts and monsters and whatever. And that in my little head, that formulated, okay, holiness is about things that you don't do, and we don't do that, even though every time it wasn't actually a ghost. Like, every time it was just a guy with a costume, I told my parents, it's not scary, it's always a guy with a costume. It's not really a ghost, you know, whatever. But we've made holiness sometimes into those things that we don't do. Sometimes, for me, for a period of time in my life, holiness was, I don't listen to secular music. We didn't have, when growing up, we didn't listen to secular music. One time, I was at this, some other girls from our church when I was probably, I don't know, 7 or 8, and they were kind of like babysitting me, and they had a cassette tape of the Jets. Does anybody remember the Jets? Yeah, okay, so they had a cassette tape of the Jets, first secular music I ever listened to. I felt really naughty, like I was doing something I shouldn't do. Because that's what my view of holiness was. Or nowadays, the version of holiness might be, I only download the clean versions of the songs, right? Like, oh, there's the clean version, and then there's the, you know. Or we might say, holiness is, I don't watch rated R movies. Okay, or some people go even further, and they go, well, we also don't do NC-17 or PG-13 or, you know, whatever. Here's the problem with that. Did you know that Jesus did not set the ratings on those movies? You know what I mean? So we create these views of what holiness is around what we don't do. And so basically, my version of holiness or my understanding of holiness was kind of like, you know, I don't know exactly what it is, but it's impossible. When God says, be holy as I am holy, I go, that's impossible. Like, I mean, really, I don't know what he meant there, but it's not what everybody thinks he means. That's impossible. Or B, it's really boring. Be holy as I'm holy just means there's a lot of things that I can't do, and it's just really boring. And that tends to be our viewpoint of what holiness is. But when we look at Scripture, when we look at scripture, anywhere that we see, because this is my path that I take when I'm going, Lord, I don't understand something. A lot of times I take it back to scripture and I begin to look at, what does your word say about holiness? Because I've got 6 devotionals that talk about holiness. I've got all kinds of ideas from growing up in church, what I think holiness is. But what does your word say about holiness? And then I ask the Spirit, will you speak to me and give me revelation through your word of what holiness is? What does that look like for me? So in scripture, anywhere you see the word holiness, sanctification, or consecration, those English words basically are the same translation. All of them mean set apart or other than. And so holiness has to do with being set apart. That God is holy. Why is God holy? Because he's completely set apart. There is no one like him. He is set apart from all darkness. He is set apart from all sin. He is set apart from all sickness. He's set apart from depression. He's set apart from fear. He is holy. He is set apart. There's no one like him. He's set apart. And I think sometimes we understand, yes, I understand that holiness is separation from sin. Holiness is, you know, we see this whole concept of a holy God and the priest that couldn't enter the temple because God couldn't be around sin. They would die. If they had any sin in their lives and they came into the presence of God, they would die, have to be pulled out. Have you in the temple? And so we have this understanding of, yes, holiness is separation from sin. And that in order to be with God, I have to be separated from sin. And that's what Dave talked about when he spoke 2 weeks ago. It's online if you missed it. The reality of, you have been separated from sin. You have. We know we can come boldly before the throne of grace because we've been separated. But that's like the entry point to holiness. That's the beginning part of holiness. The reality of holiness. And let me say this. If we're separated from sin, and if holiness is about that, then why do we have these cycles of sin in our lives sometimes? Why do we have these, you know, I can tell you growing up, you go to youth camp, and you have this time of repentance and you repent of these different sins that are in your life and these things, and you cry and you go, yes, I want to be separate from sin. And I'm not knocking that. That kept me with the Lord. But the reality was, I'd come back the next year to youth camp and I'd be repenting of some of the same sins. And I'd go, God, but I want to be separate from this sin. I want to be separate. And next year I'm back. Same sins. Maybe the clue is we should have camp quarterly. No? Yeah, daily. That's good. It's daily. Have youth camp every day. It's good that we be able to repent. Like, that is part of our Christian life that we do. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and purify us when we repent. But the reality is that if we think that holiness is just about being separate from sin, that it's just about the things that we don't do, I don't watch this, I don't do that, I don't talk like that, I don't go to these places. If we think that it's just about that, then, and it is, can I just say this? Yes, we need to separate ourselves from sin. Sin wants to ensnare us. Sin wants to entangle us. It wants to kill you. Sin, we should separate ourselves from sin. But it's not just about that. Holiness isn't about what I don't do. Holiness is about what I do. Holiness isn't just that I separate myself from sin. Holiness is that I'm set apart to God. I'm set apart from something for the sake of being set apart to something. That's the huge part of holiness. That's the big part of holiness. We separate from sin so that My life is completely set apart to God. My life is completely given to Him. My dreams, my desires, my entertainment, my talent, my money, my time, my energy. That's holiness. But when I relegate holiness to all the things that I don't do, when I relegate it to the things that I don't do, I stay focused on all those things rather than being able to focus on I'm set apart for something. Here's an example. I must have been really revisiting youth camp in my memories today because I remember this illustration. I had a youth pastor who did an illustration, and he talked about all the different kind of brushes that you have in your house. So you have, you know, in our garage, we have this wire brush. It's like a utility brush. We use it to scrub oil off the concrete because we have an older car. Or we might use it, like when we had the chicken coop, we used the brush to clean the wire of the chicken coop or whatever. We also have a grill brush. We have a brush that we use to brush the grill off. And sometimes we might use the grill brush in a pinch to clean off the chicken. No, just kidding. Well, maybe, you know, bird poop on the deck, you just reach over and, because grills are hot and it's okay. No, I'm kidding. You know, I have a scrub brush in the house. I have a kind of a multi-purpose cleaning brush. I use it to scrub the tub. I might use it to scrub the stuff that gets behind my sink when you don't have a water softener and so you have a little lime deposit and all that, right? So we have these different, we have a hairbrush. And the hairbrush in the household, you know, I use the hairbrush. My husband maybe, no, he would never use my hairbrush, but I would use his. You know, that you could share a hairbrush among family maybe. But then you have your toothbrush, right? So here's something that I learned about my husband after 18, 20, 19 years of marriage. Was this maybe? Yeah. So one time I was in a huge hurry and I get ready in two different bathrooms. Okay, wait. You might not get to hear this story. Okay, yeah, you can. I get ready in two different bathrooms because I like the variety of it. And in this case, someone was in one of the bathrooms and my toothbrush was in there. And I needed to get out the door and I'm not going to leave without brushing my teeth. And so I just grabbed my husband's toothbrush. And real quick, I just used it and rinsed it off. And I thought, well, I can put it in the dishwasher if it's that big of a deal, you know, whatever, and put it away. So I didn't think anything of it because I was in a hurry and I really needed to brush my teeth. And so he comes home and his toothbrush is in my drawer in our bathroom. And he's kind of going like, hey, what's up with why is my toothbrush in your drawer? And it's wet. And I was like, oh, I used your toothbrush. I was in a hurry. Olivia was in the bathroom. And it was like, could have wrecked our marriage. Like we have actually used the toothbrush story when we speak at the prison. Which, by the way, how about telling this story? I'm telling them the story about the toothbrush. I'm in a prison. I'm telling them the story about the toothbrush. And all of the women are going, ew. And it was then that I realized I was wrong. Apparently, it's not okay to use someone else's toothbrush. Not even the one flesh relationship person's toothbrush. But anyway, so we actually had used the toothbrush story to model reconciliation because we did a reconciliation over me using his toothbrush. But why is that? Because his toothbrush is holy unto him. It is not a multi-purpose brush. So, you know, if the dog pukes in the carpet, we don't go, hey, grab my toothbrush. Or if your wife is in a bind, you don't say, yes, please use my toothbrush, apparently. Right? Because it is holy unto him. It is set apart for him. It has one use. It is to brush his teeth. And do you know, my knowing that it is set apart to him and that it has one use, that keeps me from ever doing anything else with that brush. So he doesn't walk around sticking notes on the brush that says, don't use this to clean the grill. Don't use this to, you know, wipe up dog poo. You know, whatever. He doesn't leave a note on it. I just know that brush has one use, and it's to clean his teeth. And that's what holiness is for us. It is that my life has a singular purpose. My life has one thing that it's meant to do, and it's meant to glorify God. My life has one thing that it's devoted to. It's important that we remember that holiness is more about what we do than what we're saying no to. Holiness is more about what we've been set apart unto than what we have been set apart from. That's holiness. Okay, I'm going to finish talking. If you promise to listen, Brian has a free gift because he believes very strongly in everybody having their own toothbrush. But I want you to bring one home. They're all individually wrapped and clean. It's all good. I want you to bring one home, and you can use your own, but whatever. When you brush your teeth, would you just remember and say, I am set apart. Hopefully you're doing it sometime in the beginning of your day. And you can, every morning, you're starting your day saying, I am set apart. That's what this is. I have one singular use for my life. And I'm not going to clean the toilet with it. Right?
By the way, orange isn't going very well.
Okay, no, we won't do orange next time. I was going to say some hunters might like orange. Just in case, it's good. It's safety first. Okay. So, I think that we need to recognize and we need to give an example that holiness isn't about a bunch of no's. Holiness is one big yes. What protects my marriage is my yes. That's what protects my marriage. Do you know why I don't mind PDA with my husband? Because I think it's an opportunity for me to say to everything else, this is where my yes is. I'm not saying everybody has to do PDA. I didn't really like it when we first got married. But that my marriage is completely protected when you know that my yes is for him. Wow, how are we running out? That's weird. Multiply the toothbrushes, God. Okay. Did you hear Leslie? Leslie says, oh, we can share. It's okay. No. No, that's the whole point, Leslie. So, if holiness is about one big yes, that means on my wedding day with my husband, I didn't walk around the church and go, no, 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 no. Right? And my yes was to one person. I didn't have to walk around and say no. I don't every man I encounter, I don't go, no. Right? Because I have a huge yes for one man. And that's what protects me. That's what protects our relationship, is my yes for him. And yet, we treat our relationship with God like it's all about no's. Like it's all about what we're saying no to. When he's just going, will you just say yes to me today? I really appreciate that you're saying no to that. You didn't have to. Scooby-Doo was actually okay. But will you just say yes to me today? Will your yes just be really big for me today? and not worry so much about what your no's are. That doesn't mean we're not going to stay separate from sin. Our yes separates us from sin much more than our no does. And that's holiness. That every single day, when I got married, every single day of the rest of my life was a yes to this man. When you came into faith, when you gave your life to Jesus, every single day of your life was a yes to him. That is holiness. It's about giving 100%. It's about my biggest yes being to him. And I think, you know, we don't really teach a lot on tithe, or, and I think sometimes we struggle with it, this whole concept of, you know, God wants 10% of our money, or here's the reality. He's not asking you for 10% of your money. He's not asking you for 10% of anything. He's asking you for 100% of everything. He's asking us for 100% of everything. He's asking me for 100% of everything. And right now, the question I'm asking myself every day is, how big is my yes? How big is my yes today? And the reality is, my yes is just a response to his yes for me. It comes from a place. Holiness is not a list of don'ts. Holiness is a relationship where two people are fully saying yes to one another. The cross and what was accomplished on the cross and what Jesus went through and his resurrection, that was one huge yes. And holiness is that I see that and I say yes back. God didn't look and say, you know, what little thing can I give? I want to give you something. What little thing can I give? He gave everything. He gave everything. His yes is complete for you. Sometimes we can't respond with a yes because we don't realize that his yes is complete for me. His yes is 100% for you. Even because we've got stuff and we're like, surely he's not saying yes to that. That's ugly. I use other people's toothbrushes. Yuck. But his yes is 100% for us. No matter what we're bringing with us, his yes is 100%. And then our response, the only possible logical response is I say, you gave 100% to me. I'm going to give 100% back. Even this yucky, nasty thing I don't want. And the reality is, he's probably going to give it back to you only better. But that's holiness. Is that we are all in. That we say yes. But that it's motivated by relationship. Right now, you all are saying, I thought this was about freedom. It is about freedom. You have complete freedom to say yes or not say yes. That's the beauty of a God who values free will. That's the beauty of a God who is love and who knows there is no love if I make you do this. There is no love if I demand this. But I'm going to give you freedom. I'm going to remove every obstacle from you saying yes. I'm going to take care of all of it. You don't have to wrestle with it. You don't have to have cycles of sin in your life. I'm going to take care of every obstacle to you saying yes. And then I'm going to step back and I'm going to let you give me your yes. I'm not going to take it from you. That's love. And that's holiness. That in the freedom that I have, because he's dealt with sin and death, He's dealt with law. He's dealt with the lust of the flesh in my life. Now I have freedom from that, and now I use that freedom to say yes. That's what protects the relationship. That's what protects my relationship with my husband, is my yes to him. That's what keeps me in it. He's looking for 100%. His yes to me creates a yes back. And it's so important because he's calling us to be a people that are wholehearted for the sake of the world around us. Do you know that if we're not fully saying yes, nobody is fully seeing who Jesus is? In Romans 12, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And what it's saying is, this is the only reasonable response to the yes of a God that gave his son. The only reasonable response is that I would offer my body as a living sacrifice. And then it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It proves, it validates who Jesus is when we say yes completely to him, and when people can see that in our lives. One of the things I think as the church, the American church especially, the Western church in general, is that we are carrying this message, this amazing message, the gospel. We're carrying this message that he gave everything. He gave everything so that we could have everything. And our life isn't matching up with that. Because the only reasonable response to that, if that's really true that he gave everything, the only response that we would have if we believe that is that we would give everything. And so if our life doesn't match up with that, I think at best the world is confused. I think there's an aspect of authority that we lose when our message and our life don't match up. That in some ways our message is kind of, the forefront of it is all the no's sometimes. Here's all the things that we don't do. And the reality is there's a world that's looking for our giant yes, because scripture tells us it validates the truth of who Jesus is. It validates the reality when we offer our body as living sacrifices. In the persecuted church, their yes is what gets people saved. And sometimes it's hard for us to remember that Christianity in our world, where it's comfortable, reasonably comfortable, that Christianity is the most hardcore thing you could ever do. We're not playing at this. There is a wholehearted yes that is required if we really want to see impact in our city. There's a wholehearted yes that is required if we really want to see impact in our nation. Because when our message doesn't align with our life, we lose our authority. And holiness allows us to recapture that. We think that the world wants us to look like them. Right? So we kind of transition church into how can it feel good to the rest of the world? How can it? And the reality is they desperately want somebody who's saying yes to God. They desperately want someone who's all in. They want us to look different. They need a voice that's different. That's some of what we prayed about today. We have this pressure to conform, and it's just not real. Because what people really want and what they need is a people that won't conform. They need a people that have a message. C.S. Lewis says, "How little people know who think that holiness is dull. When one meets the real thing, it is irresistible. If even 10% of the world population had it, would not the whole world be converted and happy?" It's irresistible holiness. Somebody who's all in is irresistible. I think, have you ever, we had the privilege of leading the Holy Spirit retreat at Alpha, Community Alpha yesterday. And it was amazing to me to be with a lot of different people from different walks of life, but with people that were white knuckle grip on sobriety and had been focused on, I've been saying no for 3.5 months, but I'm really losing strength. And to be able to introduce to them the concept of just saying yes really big. To say you don't have to work so hard at saying no. You can just say yes. And the what it brought to them, the reality of this is about saying yes, and to have them say yes, and to know the freedom it was going to bring in their lives. There's the example that we gave yesterday was the reality of if you've ever had to, if you've ever done cliff jumping or jumped off of something high. Yesterday, everybody's view of cliff jumping was different. We live in Minnesota, so we don't have very tall cliffs. But if you've ever done cliff jumping or where you've had to jump off of a platform or something very high, it's exciting. But there's this reality that there's a point at which you're past the point of no return, right? That's like you're there, and have you ever, you're like, I don't know why my legs aren't moving. And your brain is saying jump, but you're like, my body is not moving. And part of it's because there's this point of no return. There's this, I know that once I get off the platform, there's no taking that back. And I feel like what God is calling the churches to is, will you stop standing on the edge with your toes on the edge and going, isn't this great? And that's what we're inviting people to. You know, like we're telling people the message is Jesus gave everything and we need to give everything to Jesus. Come to church. And then we stand there on the edge of the cliff with them and go, isn't this awesome? Yeah, every so often I do this. And I just dip my toe off the edge. Right? Like, yes, holiness sounds really boring if that's what it looks like. If it looks like just standing on the edge, but never really being past the point of no return. That's what makes cliff jumping fun. Is the reality of jumping past that point. And I feel like God is calling his church to be past the point of no return. God is calling his church to step out. He's calling us to 100% giving everything. I just wanted to take, can I get the worship team to come up? I just want us to take some time today and to allow the Lord to speak to us and invite us into a bigger yes. I want us to have an opportunity to respond and to know that when I'm pursuing holiness, it's not about perfection. It's about, am I all in with him? Do I have a completely undivided affection for him? Do I have one purpose in my life? And do I realize that? Psalm 86:11 says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart." That can be translated, "Give me singleness of heart," or "unite my heart." And the reality is, for me, my affections are divided. My affections are divided. And I don't want to stand on the edge of the cliff and think that that's holiness. And I don't want to have a message that doesn't line up with the reality of what it is that Jesus did. I want my life to validate the gospel message that we carry. I feel like this morning is just an opportunity. I just want us to have some time to contemplate with the Lord, but to realize that he is calling us to give everything and that he has given us grace to give everything. That we have a freedom to say yes. There is no obstacle. There is no obstacle to me completely saying yes. Fear, he dealt with fear. There's no obstacle. My own frailties, my own insecurities, he dealt with that. Sin, depression, sickness, whatever it is, he dealt with it. There is no obstacle to me saying yes completely. But the reality is we even have to pray for him to give us that undivided heart. Like, I can't create that in myself because he's the one who's done that. And this morning, they're just going to play for a little bit. I just want us to ask the Lord, would you give me an undivided heart? Like, I'm saying yes to that. I'm saying yes to you making me undivided in my affections. And I think there may be some of you that have never actually said yes. Today is a great day to say yes. There's some of you that people have walked you to the edge of the cliff and said, "Look, isn't this great?" And you've thought, "Well, that looks boring." It's not boring. Will you jump today? There's some of us that have said yes, and then we kind of took our yes back because it didn't mean what I thought it meant, or because life didn't go the way that I thought it should. Today is an opportunity for us to say yes again. For us to be all in. For us to be wholehearted. So I just want to give some time for the Holy Spirit to deal with obstacles to our yes, which have already been dealt with, so that we can say yes, completely. feel the strength of His yes for you today? Do you feel the extravagance of His yes over you right now? I just believe He wants to overwhelm you with the extravagance of His yes for you. His yes is for you. His yes is complete. His yes is 100% for you. Let the reality of that change something inside of you. Father, we're eternally grateful for Your yes for us. I thank You that we are exploring new parts of Your yes for us every day. That it is so huge. Your yes for us wasn't even just about heaven. Your yes for us wasn't even just about eternal life. We're exploring how big Your yes is every day. But God, we pray that You would give us the grace to give ourselves completely. We thank You that You are calling a people who will give 100%. You're calling a people whose yes is bigger than all the other no's. God, we just declare that our lives have one purpose today. Our lives have one purpose. And that's to say yes to You. We declare that we're jumping today. We thank You that You jump with us. Thank You, Lord. There's going to be ministry teams up front. If the team is willing to just play a little bit longer, for those of you that have kids in the kids ministry, please go ahead and get your kids. But if you want to soak a little bit longer, they're just going to play a little bit. And if you need prayer, the ministry teams are here. Bless you and bless your yes. Yeah, hang on 1 second.
The Lord is just putting on my heart right now, because He's been teaching me this, that if there are things in your life that you feel are hindering your yes, that are hindering you jumping, don't back off. Run to Him with that. Run to Him. Give it to Him. Press into Him with that. And He'll help you, and He'll take it. And He'll help you to jump off.
Amen. Ministry teams, you can come on forward.